Well, yesterday was a very notable day in that we were finally going to hear from Jalen Hurts after about 6 weeks since his comment or comments about Nick Sirianni earlier in the summer. And obviously also as the Eagles, you know, embark on a new training camp to crank this thing up and just get some answers. Let's give you all the answers that Jalen Hurts provided yesterday. The full 10-minute press conference of Jalen Hurts. Listen, then we'll react. Your phone calls, of course, at 215-592-9494. You knew the first question was going to be about Nick. It was. Here's Hurts yesterday.
Jalen, there was a report that came out that you're in Nick's relationship.
Let me say this first. You know, you go through an offseason. You put a lot of work in. And I think all the things that we've been through last year, all the opportunity we had last year, I know everybody's hungry. You know, everybody's hungry. You know, there's a ton of opportunity in front of us this year. And I'm excited to be back, excited to go through this journey, and go through this season with everyone here, you know, from everyone, you know, and I truly trust Mr. Lurie, I trust Howie, I trust Coach Sirianni to lead us in that right direction. And I know there are different roles in place. Everybody has different responsibilities. They may be more demands from some than others, but I think to win championships, to be the team we want to be, everyone has to buy into that role, and everyone has to, you know, be fully committed to doing their part and helping the team. And so, I'm excited to go on that journey. You know, I feel like for me as a player, as a leader, everything that we went through last year, I just feel like I'm equipped to handle whatever's to come. And so, I'm excited to, you know, forge whatever this year's supposed to be.
How did last year test your mental? There was a report that was a part of the progress. You feel like you're in a good place?
Yeah, I think we're in a great place. You know, I think anytime you have any frustration, anytime you have any adversity that you have to overcome, it's supposed to test you. And I think it's a matter of being on the same page. You know, and I think if we are on the same page, we maybe would accomplish the things we would have. And, you know, we didn't, but that's a learning experience. You know, and I think it's as simple as if I made it happen, I can make it happen. And this team has made it happen before, and there's no doubt that we can make it happen again, but it takes what it takes. And it takes being together, you know. And my message to the team, after we did our conditioning test, and even after our first day of practice, and which I thought was a good day of practice, but, you know, talent, I've been on very talented teams, you know, my pretty much my whole career. I played around talent, and talent wins you games. It'll take you very far, but it don't last. You know, teams is what win championships, and that's what we're trying to do, you know, trying to take that next step. And so it'll be an exciting journey. I think it was a great first day, just starting out here, getting the juices flowing, humid out here today, but it was good having the fans out there, and you know, just being able to write a new journey for us. Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I know everyone has a different opinion on that statement, but everybody's not the quarterback. So for me and in my job and what I'm asked to do, I can see those differences from my vantage point. And I've spent a lot of time with that. Spent a lot of times with that and with the receivers and tight ends and just really trying to make it my own, like I said, you know. So I think that's been a process. It's been a really good process. And it's about striving for that consistency and building that feel we want. I think it can help. You know, I think it comes down to execution regardless of what we're asked to do. But over the course of my career so far, I do see the importance of being able to, you know, switch things up, adjust, give a different taste, a different initial feel for things in motions, formations, and using different players in different spots. So, you know, we'll see what comes with that this year for us. But it's just a matter for us and me taking a day at a time and everybody buying in, doing their job, and pressing forward with the good intent.
Do you anticipate relationships?
I'm sorry?
Do you anticipate getting relationships again?
I'm not sure. It's above my jurisdiction. I really haven't ever gotten reps. You know, I think it changes with the weather. You know, everything is about results. So, you know, we'll see.
Imagine the relationship with a head coach who's more involved with offense is different. As Sirianni had different roles in the offense before, how is managing that relationship with a head coach who's more step back, and how do you manage that going forward?
It's fine. It's talking on the things that we need to talk about together, you know. And when it comes to Kellen, I talk to the things I need to talk about with him. But I think you guys have known me well enough and have gotten a feel for me better enough to know that anything and everything that I do is for the betterment of the team, and that's trying to win. And so I think if everybody has that mentality within their role, then we'll be fine.
Kellen, Lane Johnson said that you, in terms of leadership,
Well, I think it ain't more or less. It's just, you know, you guys see what I allow you to see. So I ain't really changed in terms of who I am. It was fun. You know, it was fun, and it kind of happened that way naturally. But, you know, I think back on last year when we're going to the wild card game, and, you know, I don't have AJ. I don't have the guys that, you know, that I've been playing with all year. So being able to build a connection out the gate, I didn't have that with Julio like I wanted. I didn't have that with Zacchaeus like I may have wanted last year. And so going into this year, knowing that we have youth in the receiving room, and whatever happens, that I know that I've forged a relationship with them already. So if it comes up, we got some type of foundation to lean on. So that was my thought process with that. And I think it was really good. You know, I got a lot of confidence in those guys, Johnny. A lot of talent there. Nias, Houston kid, a lot of talent there as well. I played with his brother. And then obviously AJ, Smitty, and Dallas, and Saquon, and Paris. You know, all those guys stepping up ship. Same.
So are you ever surprised by what you say, the way, surprised and disappointed by what you say, the way it's interpreted once it gets out there? It doesn't bother you at all?
There's no frustration with it. It's, like I said, some people don't know what they don't know. And I think that's often the case. And I can live with that.
You've spoken to us a lot.
Jason Kelce retiring. How does that change your responsibilities to the line of scrimmage? Diagnosing where pressure's coming from, protection, and things like that.
Yeah, you know, over the years, it's been something that I've wanted to do, but I feel like it hasn't. I mean, you have Jason Kelce, it's like, just let him do it, you know? And so I never really had the opportunity to do those things, but, you know, I think the opportunity has come. And I think it's a collaborative thing with myself and Cam, and we just have to build that relationship. He knows I have a lot of confidence in him to do the job and be the player he is. I mean, he stepped up for us in big moments. He played bar for us last year, and he's been ready. You know, he's ready to lead that O-line room, and I know those guys are going to lean on him.
Has Kelce been the best classroom ever?
It's been very good, but I think it comes from Stout, you know, and how valuable he is for Kelce, myself. And how much he means to, you know, Stout, Kelce, excuse me, how much Stout means to Kelce. I like to forge that type of relationship with Coach Stout because I know how smart he is, you know, and I love to just be fed from him.
You're talking a lot about
the changes in coordinator systems, play callers during these last 8-9 years of your life. What have you learned from those experiences as far as the quarterback's voice and what you like, what you don't, and how that offense should function?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you in that area, when you don't have the continuity that you don't have the continuity. It's, I mean, it's been 10 different play callers at some point over the past 8 years for me. And when you don't have that, it's kind of tough to learn how to talk to someone, how to communicate, how are they receptive, how are we growing to get to the same page. But I'm looking forward to that. And I've enjoyed that process with Coach Kellen. I've enjoyed every bit of it, just talking and how he sees the game. His trust in my judgment and my instincts is very important. And just going out there and playing.
Last one.
On who you are, several coaches have talked about how hard you are on yourself. And how would you describe that about your personality, how that functions as a quarterback and in this team?
Yeah, I think you know, the guy, you know, that gets all the attention and, you know, has all of the, you know, the pressure in a sense. You gotta be your biggest critic. Nothing really else matters. Nothing else really matters. And it's just about trying to go out there and do your job to your best abilities every day. And I do that with a passion, expressed uniquely at times. But, you know, I know what's important to this team. I know what's important to this city. Most importantly, I know what's important to me. And all in that is winning.
Thanks, Jalen.
And that's Jalen Hurts from yesterday, obviously, a press conference that aired in the afternoon, or late morning, I guess it was. So a lot to digest from that. I'll say this, and again, to everyone listening, you know, you can weigh in at 215-592-9494, what you think about what Hurts said, and just this overarching question we presented all day. Do you feel better about the Eagles today than you did yesterday morning prior to the press conferences and what was said by Howie, Nick, and Jalen? So my answer is I do feel better. I feel a little bit better. I don't feel a ton better because I generally expected nice things to be said in the press conferences, and they were, by Nick and Howie about Jalen, by Jalen about Nick. I mean, that, and also about Howie and about Jeffrey Lurie. So I generally expected that. But I know this. I didn't know that Jalen would go where he went, so I'm happy he did. Now, I am struck, James, you made the point earlier, and I don't disagree with you. While Jalen said nice things, he was not over the top about Nick. I mean, he was very prepared for the question. If you notice, and we'll talk to Elliot in about 10 minutes. Elliot asked that first question. You know, Hurts cut Elliot off within a matter of a couple of words. Like, he wanted to, I mean, the question wasn't even actually asked, if you technically get technical. It was a question was being asked, and then he just stopped the question from finishing. So he was prepared, but he said nice things about Sirianni. I also thought that Jalen presented himself in a different way, a more lively way, less monotone.
Definitely more lively.
Yes. And he had some smiles, which he didn't typically have last year. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good step. Yeah. So to me, he was willing to give a bit.
I thought it got less giving as it went on.
Can I give you the quote, John?
What's that?
You guys see what I allow you to see. Yeah. I haven't really changed who I am.
Uh-huh.
I understand. That was a fascinating quote.
I'm very aware.
You guys see what I allow you to see. I haven't really changed who I am. So, Ben, I know you were in Minnesota the last few days,
mm-hmm.
and unable to listen to that or watch it live as it happened. I know the last 10 minutes was the first time you've absorbed that. By the way, credit to Ben. He lands last night late from Minnesota. Bang! Pops up early this morning. Here with us at the NovaCare. So, Ben, what is your reaction hearing that for the first time?
It's pretty much what I expected. I think it was scripted. I think it was pretty much what we thought we were going to get. And I don't think he's ever going to go outside of the script. I just don't.
Would you say he at least expanded the script?
I will.
Meaning he was more willing prior to the press conference to go there than he probably was last year.
I would agree with that. I do think he showed a little bit more personality through that. Now, having said that, it's still not a big personality, but I do think it shows that he is the leader of the team and he's trying to get his guys to follow him even more.
James, can you frame what you said earlier for everyone listening about how you think Jalen went to a certain point, but not as far as maybe you would have preferred?
Yeah, I think it was clear, especially in that opening statement when he's talking about, you know, us as a team and our goal, and we're working towards that. And he's like, I trust Mr. Lurie, and I trust Howie Roseman, and I trust Coach Sirianni. And, like, that was it. That was the only part of that whole monologue that was about Nick in and of itself. And it just felt like, again, and I said I think it was passable. It was acceptable. I don't think it exacerbated the situation. I just would like to believe that he trusts his coach, that they're on the same page.
Yeah.
And he didn't make me think that yesterday.
Yeah. And I don't know that he believes that. That's the problem. I know that this is likely lip service, but I would have liked it to be a little bit more effusive.
But at least he gave us the lip service.
He did say
it. Which is better than not.
And previously, he had not. Previously, yeah. That was the problem. He was asked about Nick Sirianni, and it was
what? There's an issue with Coach Sirianni.
He's trying to be Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. Pulling Teeth. Now he's talking willingly. He's talking happily, but I don't know that that means he believes in Nick Sirianni.
Right. All right, Devin, your main takeaway. What do you make of it?
So that quote that you brought up stood out to me the most on the second listen. You know, obviously listening to it live and then hearing it back. What stood out to me was what he'd said about the wild card game, though, and his play at the end of last season, where he essentially said, I didn't have time to build chemistry with pretty much any receiver aside from A.J. Brown, who was out that game. And I've been taking active steps to practice with the guy, with the new receivers who I have and the rest of my offense, which I just took away from that he is being a better leader, like proactively trying to be a better leader for not just the offense, but the whole team. There was also a soundbite from the end of training camp yesterday where he's talking to the team and he sounds, you know, really eloquent and well-spoken. So I do feel like I don't know if someone talked to him about it, but I see improvement. And they maybe that's just me being blinded as a fan and wanting to be
more confident.
They told us that they talked to him about being a little bit more vocal with
and you know
team.
What's also interesting, Ruben,
I think he was good with that.
Ruben said to us 2 days ago, because I asked him, how would you handle this if you were a GM? And he referenced, so sometimes it's not about having the direct conversation, but getting to someone in his life to have the conversation with him. Could be a parent, could be the agent, could be a best friend. But Ruben's point was sometimes you don't go direct, you go roundabout, but make sure the message gets to him, even if you're not the one that directly gives it to him. So, you know, look, I thought it was a good day for the Eagles. It doesn't convince me that matter of fact, I feel certain there was a problem. Doesn't convince me there's not a problem, but it makes me feel better than I had felt.
The one answer that doesn't make me feel better was the one you brought up, Joe, that you guys see what I allow you to see. Because I don't know if he meant it to sound as, I don't know, ominous as I took it, but I took that as, well, so is there still a problem? And
I will say this about that. There is a big difference, and there should be from what he presents to the press and the public and what he presents to his teammates.
Yes.
Because in the end, we can talk all we want about his public presentation. What truly matters is he getting along with his teammates and his coaches? Is he listening to his coaches? Is he,
Is he leading his teammates? Is he respected by his teammates?
So your chance to weigh in on all this. By the way,
I thought it was huge that he talked about the collaboration with Cam Jurgens on these calls.
Oh, that was fascinating.
He told us that he has wanted to do
but
it.
But didn't.
All along. But previously it's Kelsey's thing. Let him do it. Like, that's different than what I expected. Like, that's a player who,
I had been telling you, he wasn't doing it.
For your purposes, you should take that as he knows how, he understands it, he has wanted to do it.
There's a difference between
a while.
He knows how and he's wanted to do it.
He's wanted to do it for a while, but he hasn't.
But he hasn't done it.
You have questioned quite some time whether he could do that.
Could do it. Yeah,
if he has wanted to do it for a while, it sounds like he could do it.
Well,
don't you think?
How do we know, man?
How do you know that, John? There's a
difference.
Because
if he wants to do it, I think he understands.
John, I want to shoot three pointers. Doesn't mean I'm going to be good at shooting
three
pointers. Come on, man. He's not going to ask to do it if he doesn't know.
Are you out of your mind? All right, Elliot is going to join us in about 5 minutes. By the way, something fascinating Bryce Harper said after that Phillies loss yesterday. We're going to get to that shortly as well. Reaction to what you heard from Hurt, Sirianni, and Howie, Patrick and Tabernacle. Hi, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Hey, Patrick. What do you make of that, man?
You know what? What I make my biggest takeaway? I think he's stepping into a new role because Kelsey's stepping out of a role. Kelsey's not there. He said something. He referenced something. I said, you know what? It might be tough to be a leader, be yourself when you got such a strong personality in Kelsey. So that's what I took away from it.
Well, I think it's an important point. He does have to do more.
But Patrick, within the offense, to Kelsey's credit, Kelsey did not strike me at all like the guy that sucks the oxygen out of the room. Like, there are some non-quarterback leaders, I think, that make it hard for a quarterback to be a leader. I think Ray Lewis, as great as he was and as great as a leader as he was, and I'm not ripping him, but, I mean, there was no way any quarterback in that organization, I don't care who the quarterback was, was going to have a bigger voice than Ray Lewis. And I don't see Kelce as the guy that had an ego that would have prevented a quarterback from being the leader if the quarterback stepped up to be the leader.
Not, I'm not talking about Kelce's actual personality. Like it's a good analogy with Lewis. Kelce was larger than life. His leadership role became, Joe, it wasn't his actual personality.
Is.
It was what he represented.
In time, but he wasn't larger than life the whole time. I mean, to be fair, Kelce the last 2 years.
In Hurts' time.
Yeah.
Look at in Hurts' time. He walks in. This guy is
well,
Mr. Mumble.
I guess ever since the Super Bowl and the parade, I guess that's true. Yeah.
So that's not why. Real quick, John Ritchie, John Mayall passed away. Maybe Seltzer can give us a nod to one of the big guys who helped bring Chicago Blues and Mississippi Delta Blues to people's consciousness. Devin, if you combine announcing yourself with the news and your Eagles chant, I think you got a winner.
Hi, this is the news.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Wait, Seltzer, where was he?
Ever try?
He didn't tell me he was going to say that. I don't have the Eagles chant on
the
board.
Do you have the E? Can you just do the E?
I can pull it up.
I need the E. For those that missed it, Devin tried to do an Eagles chant yesterday, and the E was
not great. No, not just the E, the whole chant.
It was, let me put it this way. It was worse than Screech trying to hit on a girl.
It was
was nothing good about it. All right, nothing. All right, Patrick, do me a favor.
Yeah, the news.
Sorry, I got to hear that again. Hold on, let me hear that again.
Hi, this is the news.
All right, Patrick, give me a quick Phillies point because I got to get to Elliot.
I know. Quick Phillies point. Listen, man, I'm with Seltzer, man. I've wanted bats this whole time coming, this whole season. You know, the pitching that we rode was a great, great big wave for a long time, for half the season. Now we're into the nuts and bolts part of this is not crunch time yet, but
it's crunch time to form the team. This is basically your last shot to add anyone of real value. Patrick, something from a movie that's strange or dumb. What do you got?
Not a winning answer. In Jaws, one of my favorite movie, when Dreyfus says, "Hey, it's a tiger shark," and that big dope of a guy says, "A what?"
Okay, all right, Patrick. Appreciate the call. Hey, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. Patrick was just talking about what he wants to see the Phils do. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox that's for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question: which is a bigger need for the Phillies as they approach the trade deadline, which is now in 5 days? Is it A, starting outfielder, where obviously they could use help both in left field and center field, or is it B, a relief pitcher, which is becoming a bigger area of need considering the struggles of Alvarado and others?